still my heart.
Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes from Shoreline Church. Hey, Jason.
Hey, two times in 1 week.
We got to kind of do a 10-minute version of this Sunday morning.
And
at Shoreline Church.
It was
like glorious. A live show.
It was glorious. Yeah, so this last Sunday, we actually did talk about serious things.
We did,
we talked about the sanctity of life. Obviously, you travel around our community and speak at churches really almost every Sunday for the last couple months, right?
Yes, it's been it's going to be a nice break. I'll get to be back at Shoreline this Sunday.
Nice.
And then I'll be out of town the next Sunday. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of traveling.
I'm going to see if I can schedule vacation now that I know that you're going to be there.
So
Andrew shared we did a little Q&A interview, kind of 10-minute segment, and talked about sanctity of life, talked about Hope Resource Center, and got to stand in front of our folks, all three services.
Yeah.
9:45 was
quite packed.
Bonkers.
Yeah,
it was
really
bonkers.
Really packed. You know, I was looking out and my wife was there, and I when we were sitting there waiting for the video to end on Sunday, I was looking for her.
Right.
And it was very difficult to find
her.
And then, because we have the little one, who hasn't gone to the nursery yet, we sit on the edge or sit kind of toward the back. And she somehow managed to be right in the middle. And I thought, man, I hope Charlie behaves because getting out of the middle is going to be a pain.
Yeah. And with that, man, those are good. They're not even problems. Those are good challenges for us to face. Yep. We're just grateful for lots of growth, but thanks for being there with us on Sundays.
You know, and it's interesting because after that, we've been watching the weather, and even I was a little late today just trying to – I got the dogs out today in the sled just to get here to do,
do
the show.
We did experience the snow dome once again. Do we believe there's a snow dome that is keeping us from getting snow? Or do we believe it's just a big conspiracy by Kroger and Walmart and some of our local news stations?
In 2000,
and I have great respect for our local news stations.
Yeah,
let me say that.
I'm really, really close Twitter friends to Todd Howe.
And he's a part of the CAK community.
Good dude.
Family. So,
And so we are – when I moved to Knoxville in 2008, I thought I'm moving close to the mountains. We're going to get snow all the time.
Yes.
And I moved from southern Middle Tennessee – where we got a little bit of snow, but I thought, man, I'm moving to Knoxville. We're going to get snow all the time. And then I moved here, and I started to hear weather guys say, the valley's going to may get this, the valley. And I was like, who's this valley you're talking about?
Speak to me about this valley.
And so then I realized, oh, it comes off the plateau.
Correct.
Knoxville's in the valley. Then it goes to the Smokies.
Correct.
And so a lot of it does just kind of pass over.
Man,
the valley.
And we know these truths.
And it's so frustrating.
And our hearts are so drawn towards being let down.
I'll tell you,
I wanted snow.
As a grown man, I'm a grown man. And yesterday I got up at 5 and I looked out the window in Carnes and I thought, it has failed me once again.
Yeah.
I
was hearing rain coming down, at whatever time it was, 5:30 when I kind of rolled over and I heard rain on the roof and I thought it's not cold enough yet.
Yeah.
Obviously it's cold enough today, but it's not cold enough yet. And this is when all the moisture is already pushing through. And sure enough, I actually asked my oldest son, I said to him, cause you know, they canceled school early.
Yeah. When it was 58.
Right.
Sunny.
And I said, so, Do you really even care that if it snows or not? Now that school's already been canceled, do you care whether it snows or not? And he was like, yes, of course I want it to snow. And I was like, oh, he's still a little guy and he wants to play in this. I was like, oh, so you want to get out in it? And he was like, I just want to get out of more than one day of school.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And I get it. I've been there and I'm still there even as a grown man. And so but along with all of that, some other big news in Knoxville is UT number one.
Unreal.
2 weeks in a row. First time ever.
Yeah, the longest winning streak for the Vols since like 1915.
Yeah,
or
unbelievable.
Something like that.
They are playing out of their mind.
It is a lot of fun to watch.
It is so much fun to watch.
Like our whole family is like sitting around the TV watching it.
It is.
On evenings. We watched last night. Man, it's a ton of fun.
It is. And
it's been a good sports week. It should be noted. So my buddy Scott Stallings, one of our Shoreline partners, played with Tiger this weekend. Both Saturday and Sunday. Wow. Played with Tiger. And so got to see him a lot on television and stuff. He shot well. Man, it's been a fun sports week.
It has, and the Super Bowl's this weekend. Yeah, which I don't really have a dog in that fight, but
no, nor do I want one.
But really. but Super Bowl's this weekend. A lot of things going on. But today, what we wanted to do is talk about an issue that you're dealing with personally right now. Yep. as a family, and a lot of us either are currently dealing with, or have been dealing with, or will be dealing with in the near future, and that is grief and yep. How are Christians to look at grief? How do we love on our friends and our neighbors and fellow churchgoers as we look at grief? And I know that in your family, Carrie's grandmother yep. is dealing with some health issues, and we're not really sure yep. how long she's.
Yeah, you know, we like to do this show on issues that are relevant to our culture, but also just relevant to us as individuals. Mm-hmm. And so, it just feels like the last month or so, we've walked alongside a number of folks that are experiencing loss, or have just recently experienced loss. And then just even a couple of days ago, Carrie's grandmother experienced a massive stroke and basically has lost 80 to 90% of brain activity. And they're giving her just a few hours left to live. And so kind of already plans have begun as mm-hmm. far as for arrangements and things of that sort in the coming days. And she's an amazing lady who lived a long life and will spend eternity with Jesus. And so we don't grieve without hope, but still it's just hard, you know, yeah. and it's impacted Carrie. They were very close. And so it's felt personal a bit this week. And so as we talked about, what should we talk about this week on Between Sundays, I propose we talk about grief, knowing that a whole lot of people out there are experiencing grief, whether it is something that's recent or maybe still years down the road, where they battle some of those things that come along with grief and loss.
Well, and when it comes to especially family members, I remember having a conversation with a coworker a few years back before I was at Hope at a different job. And they came in to my office because they knew that I was a believer and those things. And they sat there and they said, "My uncle died." And I said, "Okay." And they went, "He was a terrible person." Mm. And they started crying and they said, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel.
I feel
sadness because he was an uncle, but I feel anger because of the life he led. And so when we talk about grief, it isn't just someone that you were close with and that were amazing. Sometimes it's folks that were in your life that there may be some hurt there. There
Absolutely.
May be some something there that and it's hard to walk through that. And I think from a pastor ministry standpoint, what I've found and mistakes that I've made in grieving is coming into some of those situations and getting preachy
yeah.
instead of being present.
Or prescriptive.
Right.
That's the thing too, is that we have to be mindful of we talked a lot about how, you know, the result of the fall, it's not just sin didn't just begat mm-hmm. more sin, but it did indeed bring on fallenness, and fallenness creates everything. Yeah. I mean, it creates all these slew of emotions and insecurities and baggage and all the stuff. And so if one thing I'm always reminded, in fact, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday talking about just our bodies, actually mm-hmm. the physiological side of our health. But, you know, we look at our bodies, and to one side, you look at how glorious God is because how complex they are and how unique they are. I was at the hospital with one of our church partners the last couple of days and hearing diagnoses and mm-hmm. things of that sort. And you're like, man, you want to marvel at it. And yet also we are reminded of how complex the results of the fall are. And so when we begin to think about our mind and we begin to think about our heart and mm-hmm. we begin to think about things like grief, man, it is not prescriptive.
Yeah.
It is not just, oh, here's three easy things to do to get over grief. It is, man, it's really complex. And so we want to talk about, there's all kinds of symptoms, you know, that come along with grief. I mean, and you know, we talked even off air, sometimes you see people grieve in different ways. Mm-hmm. And at times we almost have a tendency to expect people, you know, at a funeral, man, you should why aren't they crying
why
a whole
aren't
they bunch?
Sobbing,
or,
yeah,
or yeah, or 2 days later, how are they out in public? Right. But people grieve different ways. Sometimes they're just physically drained. You've got things like they can't sleep. You know, you've got physical realities like being forgetful. You know, changing appetite. Sometimes people want to stay busy, doing things in excess, whether it's eating, drinking, watching television, harmful activities, withdrawing, becoming mm-hmm. lonely, sighing, crying. I mean, again, it's complex. And we just have to begin to say, we know people are grieving. They're going to grieve in different ways. How can we come alongside them? And so that's a little bit as to what we want to talk about today.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing because I believe that a lot of people don't – it's one of, even before we went on air, we were saying, okay, let's talk about this very upbeat subject. It's yeah. not something –
it's a hard transition to go from the Vols yeah. to grief.
Yeah, well – maybe not as hard sometimes correct. During the football season, but yeah, during basketball season it is a little. But mm-hmm. we have those moments where there are just some topics as Christians we'd rather not discuss.
Yeah.
Because it does bring about painful memories or it brings a sense of sadness or despair or angst. In grieving, I think sometimes we see it as, well, it's the grieving of someone dying. It could be the grieving of a marriage that has right. ended, a grieving of right. a child that has gone astray.
And it's not always sudden either.
Yeah.
I mean, in the sense of, you know, for those of us that have walked along someone who's died of a terminal illness
right.
that, you know, cancer or something else that's taken time, I mean, there's a certain degree of grief that happens far before mm-hmm. the actual last breath of that individual. I know my mentor and pastor, a guy named David Landreth, who died a few years ago, terminal cancer. I mean, I watched him die over a period of time, and I felt like I grieved mm-hmm. to a certain degree even before his death. And so again, it's not just the intensity that changes for various circumstances. It's also just the dynamics. I mean, as you said, sometimes a death is sudden or unexpected, but as you were referencing, sometimes there's feelings and there's circumstances. You've got family backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got the way that other people cope around you. So let's say you're experiencing loss and you're experiencing loss with a fellow family member, and they might grieve a little bit different than you do. How do they react? How do they need support? Again, we're just trying to establish that if you're out there today and you're either grieving personally or you're walking alongside mm-hmm. someone who is grieving, this is going to require more than you know, a few tips from a blog. This is going to require a pursuit of Jesus and a real sensitivity to the prompting of the Spirit and a real discernment, not one that we should draw back from
right.
and say, well, I'm almost kind of paralysis by analysis, but rather let's just be sensitive to this and ask the Lord to give us some wisdom in it.
Yeah, and when we come back, that's what we're going to get into is, okay, how do we walk through that? What are the different stages? And even realizing that even within Christianity and Christians, there's different ways that people are going to walk through that process. We'll be back in a sec. So, Jason, before we get back into the topic of today, I've been watching the weather with this Arctic blast that's been coming in. Okay. And so it's going to get cold. They did get that right. It's going to be really,
great.
Really cold.
I mean, unreal cold.
And
crazy.
So as you look
sub, at, like sub
yeah,
20 in areas.
As you look yeah. at parts of the country, they have these colors like blue
right.
and purple.
Right.
And then they have up north where like Minnesota, they don't even put a color on there. And so people in Minnesota is like, you don't even have a color for how cold it's getting. But here's how they're describing it. Which would make me very nervous if I lived in those areas.
Right.
Is they have said, it is going to be colder there than Antarctica.
Yeah, that's not an expression
like,
I've ever heard related to somewhere
yeah.
where I'm
yeah,
living, residing, or visiting.
Yeah, and so yeah. so if you're listening in the Minnesota area, I hope you have a fire going and you're
yeah.
staying inside of your house.
For our significant Minnesota listeners, I'm sure there's hundreds of you.
It's probably the accents that
yeah,
make them want
right,
to listen to
right.
us.
So for
yeah.
all of you that are listening in Minnesota today, know that we are sending our best wishes,
yeah.
our prayers to you.
Yeah.
In all sincerity, really, we do recognize that those cold temperatures bring major problems. And so, in all sincerity, truly, blessings to you and
then I think
stay
this
warm.
Weekend it's going to be around here. It's going to be
of course. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, there's welcome to Tennessee. We might head to the lake on Saturday around here.
Yeah, that'll be a great thing.
I'm still hopeful for just one good snow.
I just want one
good snow. And then if I can get one good snow, then I'm like, bring on the warmth, bring on baseball season, bring on everything else.
Sleeveless
just
shirts.
That's what I was primarily thinking about.
Jean shorts, all of those things.
Yes, that's all of those things. But I would like just one more good snow.
Well, I think we're going to get it.
All right,
I'll tweet Todd Howe today.
Yeah, and see if you can let him know. That'd be great. And then I'll reach out to Kroger. Now, so as we do talk about grief, we continue to talk about loss. As we described in the previous segment, there's probably two sides to this. One is, are you the person that's walking alongside someone who is grieving? We're going to talk about that in our next segment. But in this segment, we just want to speak directly to those who are grieving themselves, or maybe those that are listening to it, good, bad, or ugly. The reality of this world is that at some point you will experience grief. It's not something that we all get excited about. It's not something that we look forward to. In fact, many people live in fear of loss. I know that I personally, cringe at the idea of thinking about losing a parent or God forbid, Carrie or one of the kids. I mean, those are truly some of the strongest fears I have in life. But to some degree, loss is going to exist in all of our lives. And some seem more cruel than others. I mean, it's almost unfathomable to think about a parent, bearing their child or things of that sort. But to some degree, we all experience loss. We're all going to experience grief. And we want to talk a bit, hopefully, about what grief might look like as a Christ follower. You know, we recognize our audience is mostly those that have committed their life to Christ. If you've not committed your life to Christ, man, I hope that this show and many other things that we're connected to are pointing you to Christ. But we do believe that as Christ followers, we grieve a little bit differently than the world might grieve.
And I think the first thing is it's okay to grieve.
Correct.
And I think at times, especially for men, at times it's even, my son asked me last night, why don't you ever cry? And I was like, well, I do cry sometimes, for different things. And so, at times as men, we make this like, no, I'm not going to allow myself to get there. I remember when my grandma was on her deathbed, she had had a blood clot in her leg and she had, it was right after a stroke and a lot of issues going on. And the doctors came in and said, look, we could amputate her leg. She was almost 90. They said, but she probably won't survive that. And so I'm standing there with my dad, my pawpaw and my grandma on the bed. And the men in the Wood family have always been very much, we don't show emotion. And so I've never seen my pawpaw like caress my grandma or kiss her or anything like that. Yeah. I always knew he loved her. They've been married for 60 years, but I watched him sob as he rubbed her cheek and told her that he loved her. And then my dad looks at me and says, would you pray over her? And I thought, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. And then I couldn't, I couldn't get anything out.
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me like that is, I don't know what to do. But because I couldn't pray at that moment didn't mean that I didn't love her. It just meant that this is the grieving process of watching something like this occur. And I think sometimes we don't allow ourselves that. We try to push it away, or I joke at times and say the best thing to do is just really drive that very deep into your gut and not ever deal with it. Well, that's a terrible way to deal with it. And I think sometimes we feel like that's what we have to do.
All the counselors in our audience are like, good grief. Don't listen to these guys. Yeah.
And so that's not the way we should grieve. And it really is, as a dad, my daughters need to be looking to their parents. What does grief look like?
Yeah, I think there's two things to note. One is I don't want to make light of the illustration that you just gave. I do want to note that in all of our Between Sunday shows, I think that's the first time we've used the term caress.
That's true.
Okay. But secondly, on a more significant deal, I think there is that piece of, we know that we grieve with hope as Christ followers. So we grieve hopefully, but we still grieve. Yeah. That's one of the things that, again, we have to refute this crap that is the prosperity gospel. Yeah. That's almost like, if you just love Jesus enough, you're never going to experience pain. If you just have enough faith, your loved ones aren't going to die, or they're going to overcome illness, and your marriage is always going to, you know, I mean, all these things, it's just not true. I mean, again, if we didn't live in a fallen world, then we don't need the grace of Jesus. We didn't need the redemptive work of Jesus, and we do need the redemptive work of Jesus. And so, to your point, if you're out there and you're grieving and you've experienced loss, and you think to yourself, I'm a Christ follower, this shouldn't be hard, the enemy is giving you a lie.
Yeah.
Just because you grieve with hope, and we're going to talk a bit about that, and just because we understand that that almost to a certain degree we grieve temporarily, believing that if indeed that person knew Christ and you know Christ, that you'll spend eternity together. I mean, those are things we grieve, hopefully. We grieve temporarily, but we still grieve. And that grief is very, very hard.
When I think sometimes you hear people say, well, they're in a better place. Yeah, but that doesn't change.
I'm not.
That doesn't, yeah, that doesn't change how hurtful this is and how hard this is going to be. And so I think,
yeah, we'll talk about in our next segment, things not to say.
Yeah,
and that's one of them.
Yeah. And so it's a tough process, but again, it's going to look different. I was telling you off air, you know, when I grew up, there was a woman, that I went to church with that lost her husband, and he was in his 40s, and she went an entire year mourning, and she wore black every day. And everyone in our small town knew that's what was going on. And so that may not be, the norm for everybody, but for her and her family, that's how they dealt with that loss. And so the grieving process is a difficult one.
Have you thought, you know, when we talk about grieving, hopefully, I mean, Paul says you're not going to grieve as others do, who have no hope. We grieve not in the same way as others, you know, as other people who have no hope. We again believe that, that we have a hope that is in Jesus. We have something that can sustain us, something that can give us strength in this. One of the things that I just know how hard grief is for me. And I truly do sometimes look and think, how does someone grieve when they don't have Christ? You know, yeah. I mean, I just think how hard it is for me personally in believing that there is more to this life, to believe that indeed, if that lady or that gentleman knew Christ and had surrendered their life to Christ, that they are in the presence of the Father. I mean, those things bring us great hope. And one of the things that I think we often talk about is that, you know, we want to evangelize the lost, and we do that. But we don't do that so we can, like, you know, get some tally. We do that because we indeed do believe that Jesus brings hope in moments that otherwise seem hopeless.
Yeah.
And we care for people and we love people. And so while eternity is at stake and we want to elevate that, the hardships of these moments are at stake too. And we want to be able to share Jesus with people because we need him in these hard moments.
Yeah, we'll be back. So as we continue our conversation on grief,
snowing,
it is still not snowing.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it.
I was hoping for snow.
They said that there were there may be flurries today, we'll probably get six inches, seven inches.
The great thing about the studio is, so we can look out. For those of you, obviously, you can't know what we're looking at, but we can look out the window out of the studio that then looks, excuse me, across the lobby to some glass doors, so we can see outside, but we can't see the ground. We can see the bushes that are outside, and there is snow on the top of the bushes. So at an initial glance, it looks like, man,
a winter wonderland.
The snow has hit.
Yep.
And then if you kind of sit up in your chair a bit and look down, you realize there's no snow out there, just a tad bit on some bushes.
And it's frustrating. It's just all frustrating. I have no words. I thought when I became an adult that I wouldn't have those same feelings as I did when I was a child in school, and I still have those
I
same feelings.
I saw someone post that, you know, I can't remember, whichever. And again, we get it. I don't want to minimize the hardship of a weather forecaster.
They don't get paid enough.
I do not envy that position. And so, and as you said, we actually have relationships with a number of our weather personalities in town. Good folks. They're trying their best.
Yeah.
But I did see where some person on social media said something like, I can't remember who they referenced, but they referenced to one of our local news, personalities and said, so-and-so owes me $60 for the snow pants that my wife had rush ordered here, for her to
enjoy.
To be ready.
Yeah. So. I mean, I do think weathermen probably should buy insurance and they could, take care of a lot of folks for those type of things. And so as we get back to the topic on grief, what we want to do this segment is kind of walk through things you don't say when someone is grieving, things you can say and understand the particular article that we're going to be referencing is a secular one.
Correct.
And so it also gives us a glimpse into the way non-Christians may grieve.
Yeah, I was looking last night at just all kinds of resources, and there's a million out there that talk about things that you should do to help those that are grieving, ways that you walk alongside those that are grieving. And there was a number of those that are straight out of, really trusted ministries, mm-hmm. and all those were really good. But I actually thought it might be more fruitful. And again, we're not trying to make light of anything, but I think at times there's a difference for us. Jesus does indeed make a difference for us. And so some things that we might read here as secular counsel that many we'd agree with, maybe some we'd say,
from a very trusted source.
Yes.
The Guardian.
Yes.
Which is a good one. And I'll just put it out there. My grieving posture, and this may not surprise you, but in a lot of cases is humor and sarcasm.
Right.
And
it's trying to lighten someone's
when day. I'm grieving, that's how I want to be. That's how I want to deal with it. Right. I understand that making jokes when someone else is grieving may not be the way to handle it, but I'll admit there have been moments where I have done that and then felt terrible.
So. But on the other hand, like you and I mean, we joke. Our love language is a little bit of sarcasm and things of that sort. And I think our listeners have probably begun to pick up on that by
either
now.
Either that or they think we're biggest
just terrible,
jerks ever.
Terrible people, right? And you are certainly,
but
I'm I'm a pastor,
I was a pastor.
Anyways, but I think to a certain point, again, it goes back to that discernment. It goes back to knowing people, walking alongside people. If I'm in a hard moment, someone like you, not making light of the circumstances, but trying to do some things with humor to uplift me would actually be well received.
Right.
But as you said, there's other certain moments. All right. So let's look at this list.
Okay.
I think we're going to be in agreement on number one, never avoid someone who has been bereaved.
Absolutely.
So stay around people. And this isn't just, hey, I showed up at a funeral. In fact, as a person who's been on that side of it and walks with a lot of people that have, listen, If someone remembers who was at a funeral and who doesn't, they're doing better than most.
Yeah.
Really what they're going to remember is who was walking alongside them in the weeks and months after a loss. Okay. So second thing, bereavement stories. It says similar bereavement stories can be helpful. What's your thoughts on that? Meaning, hey, I've experienced some things.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably say I would be very hesitant unless you really knew the person, because for me, if I'm going through a loss and someone comes up and then there is a part of me that would go, well, hold on, is this about you or is this about what I'm dealing with at the moment?
Yeah. And what you want to be careful is it needs to be, if you're going to do that, it does. I think the key word is similar. Hey, I have also lost a spouse.
For instance,
If to walk in and say, I have lost this.
Yeah.
But let's not compare. Well, I lost my dog, 6 months ago, and you've lost a family member. Yeah. I know how it hurts how it feels to hurt. Well, let's not do that.
And I will say when we had a miscarriage and when that was, when I kind of spoke about it in front of the church, many people came up to us who had never voiced that they also went through that. And that gave a lot of hope to us as a couple. And so there are moments where you want to know, hey, there's other people that have dealt with this and been through. When my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, people came to our house and said, I was diagnosed. This is right. What it looks like.
Which is super helpful. Again, it goes back down to also really using some wise, being wise in your choice of words. When we lost a baby due to miscarriage, I had someone say to us, well, you know, this happens to a ton of people.
Yeah, that is not
and you're like,
helpful.
That is very different than saying, I've been there. Yeah. I experienced that pain. Because to say, well, it's really common. Well, it wasn't common to me.
Right.
And that didn't help me at all. But someone who said, we've been through this, that was helpful. All right. So, number four, or I think number three is don't compare the loss of a significant loved one to a, you know, well, it actually talks about a pet.
You shouldn't.
So yeah, don't
and
do
you
that.
You know that.
Number four, don't stop someone from crying.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, sometimes in the atmosphere I grew up in, you may say drop those tears because you want to toughen up somebody. But when it comes but those in that context, it's because they fell and scraped their knee. It's
correct.
Not because they lost someone.
Right.
If you're walking into one of those situations and telling someone not to cry, I just, please don't do that.
Yeah, I officiated a funeral a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things that I said to the family as kind of the visitation line was starting, and I basically said, it's okay for this to be terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's going to be meaningful, but it is okay for this to hurt a lot and for you to express those emotions. So yeah, we don't need to try to suppress emotions. We don't need to encourage someone to suppress emotions. Number five, grief lasts way beyond the delivery of the news. We would agree with that. We've said that already. What do you got for number six?
The shock of the first few days and weeks can make it hard to do everyday tasks.
That's
so understanding that when a friend or a loved one is going through this type of grief, you may, and here's the thing too, I think even within a family, like there's been moments, when my wife's grandmother passed a few years back, I knew her grandmother. I wasn't super close to her grandmother. But I actually was the one that had to deliver the news to my wife. That was very difficult. And I also understood, look, this may not hit me the same way it's going to hit her.
Yep.
And so understanding that give them room for that and know that the first few days, the initial reaction could kind of shake things up within the home, within the friendship, within that relationship. And that's okay.
Yep. And really simple tasks. I mean, just doing really simple tasks for people. Excuse me, is a good deal. You know, I mean, why do we often bring food to families? It's not because everyone's like, I just got to eat my way through grief. It's because they don't have the emotion or the energy to prepare a meal. And if that's true about meals, then it's also going to be about everyday tasks. It kind of goes into, and this list also talks about things like, you know, death certificates or going to the funeral home. Again, you're not just inviting yourself to the funeral home and get involved in arrangements, but at least offering, in those earliest of days to help with the most simple of tasks can be a really big deal. Of course, number eight talks about go to the funeral. Again, they may or may not remember. But I think it's meaningful. Number nine, don't make it about religion and the person's beliefs. And even then, be careful. I think we would probably push back on that.
Yeah, I think from our standpoint, we would the only hope we have in that struggle, in that grief, is Jesus, a Savior that not only grieved, like we may grieve a loss of a loved one. He certainly did that. But also he has faced death. He's gone through death.
Right.
And then conquered it on the other side. So to divorce ourselves from our religion, from our faith, during that time would not be healthy.
And if we really do believe that Jesus can give us some comfort and peace, what does it mean for us if and it's the difference between being preachy or being, you know, insincere or doing anything, but we're not pointing towards that. It really is this is a moment where people are hurting. Mm-hmm. So let's either point them to the Jesus that they already have known and confessed and remind them, or maybe in due time, let's share this Jesus where they can find some
And help. Here's one that as we finish up this segment, save the flowers for 3 months after the bereavement when everyone else has fallen away. That's an interesting idea to say, look, I'm still thinking about you long after.
Yeah, whether it's the flowers or it's chocolates or it's just a simple card. Keep on caring for people far beyond a funeral.
Yeah, we'll be back. So another show in the books, Jason. And, you know, 2019 has been fun. We've knocked out I don't know how many shows, but a month's worth.
Like just dozens upon dozens.
A month's worth of shows. And I had, when I was at Sunday, we had a table set up for Hope at Shoreline, and this lady came up to me, and she was talking. She knew one of my coworkers that was with me, and then she looked at me, and she said, "You're Andrew." And I went, "That is me. That is I. That's who I am." And she said, she said, "I listen to y'all's show every single week."
And
she,
Did you hug her on the spot?
And then here's the thing. She said,
"You are single-handedly keeping us on the radio."
Then she looked at me and said, "No, seriously. Like, I'm not just saying that. I know some people may just say that." I was like, "Hold on, who just says that?" And then she said,
"Wait a minute. So
everybody that has said that to me is not being honest." And then she looked. She was like, "No, I actually listen to it every week, and I enjoy it." And so yeah, it was really sweet.
That's sweet. Those of you that don't know, in case you ever miss a Wednesday at 5, we do make the show available on podcast. And I actually had someone reach out to me and said, "Hey, listen to." 3 episodes on a recent road trip they had taken, and they said some kind words. So
that's awesome.
So on occasion, we offer something that might be beneficial to
you.
People.
And at the very least, it's fun for me.
Yeah.
and for you.
And we get to talk about the Vols and Snow Dome and the Great Conspiracy of 2019.
Yeah. It's gotta happen though, right?
Surely.
Don't call me Shirley, but it's gotta happen. And so anything coming up on Shoreline that the good listeners need.
Yeah,
to know
I would
about,
just say if you by chance are out there as a listener and you're looking for a church home, we sincerely would love for you to join us one Sunday, 8:30, 9:45, 11:00. As much as I just talked about 9:45 being chaotic, you can come at any hour you want. Probably have a little bit more space at 8:30, but truly. We're kind of reshifting everybody around. So really, for those of you that are guests, choose whichever hour is best for you. We say every Sunday that we come with one intent, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus, not the name of anyone on that platform or anyone in the room, but exclusively the person of Jesus. And we're seeing life change. And so by all means, truly, if you're a listener out there looking for a church home, check us out, shorelineknox.com.
It looks like some cool things happening with the college ministry as well.
Yeah, we've actually started a college gathering and kind of young 20-somethings gathering. We're actually doing it in partnership with City Church right
now.
So
young 20, so I could probably go.
You would not make the cuts, believe it or not.
Huh.
I think even if by chance you were in your 20s, the fact that you drive the 12-passenger van would be an immediate disqualification.
12-passenger van and cardigans, they'd probably be like, you're not really what we're looking for.
In fact, you make us nervous. and so that's right down here on Sevier Avenue. Downtown, and so you can check that out. Again, you can go to our website, shorelineknox.com, and find some information about it. I think they meet every Wednesday night at 7:30.
Oh, and that's late for me.
Yeah.
That's a little late for me. So, yeah.
Anything with Hope that we need to know
about? April is always our big banquet, and so the banquet's coming up. Mark your calendars, April 25th. That's happening, and you can learn more about that at investinghope.com. You can, of course, read our blog. And also, I write once a month for Save the Storks, which is a big umbrella organization that works with pregnancy centers across the country, and you can find more information there. And then next week, I'll be going to Tucson, Arizona to join about 15 pregnancy center leaders to talk about our work and kind of come together and do some ministry stuff and learn from each other. And I'm looking forward to that. But I appreciate your prayers. I've never been to Tucson. So I'm staying in the place is called, I think it's called the Hotel in the Desert or something. I don't know. It sounds kind of creepy and scary. You had options, and so they've modernized a lot of it, but this place was built in the early 50s, and some of the rooms are still original. And
really?
It said, for the same price, it was like you could stay in the original. I was like, well, that's what I want to do. So it has a fireplace, and they said square footage is a little wonky. It may even have a guest that I'm not aware of there. But
maybe someone else in the room.
But I'm looking forward to that. So that's going to be a fun time to spend some time with some other pregnancy center folks and then come back and keep loving and serving our cities.
Yeah, and talking about things between Sundays.
That's right. Let's do it again next week.
Sounds good.
All right.